Let us pray. Grant, Lord, that we may be given clarity of thought and love for thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. It's Galatians chapter 2, and we do this, verses 18 and 19 and 20. Chapter 2, verse 18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, here are Paul's reasons for attacking his fellow Jews for the belief that by keeping the law they would reach heaven. I believe that what is happening today will never be answered in detail. Have you ever heard of the Hydra? And one of the great feats, I think it was Hercules, was to go and fight the Hydra. But every time you cut off one head, 10 heads grew on this poisonous snake, and it attacked you again. Now, it's like that. I've often said to people, what should we do about the latest idea which is attacking the church? And what they do is sigh and say, well, there are so many ideas attacking us. Which one do we take up? Now, the root cause of all our problems and the place where we have to attack, Hercules found in the Hydra, and we find in justification by faith alone. That is where we defend. This is the point that we are able to win on and to establish. I often wish a great mind would arise in the church which was able to state these things with a clarity and a forcefulness that all would listen to. But it has never happened. Now, what Paul is saying here is, I had a former life, and what if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Now, you Jews who come to the Galatia are saying, if Christians want to get to heaven, they must keep the law in order to get there. Paul's saying, I was every bit as zealous as you. But when I met the Lord Jesus on the Damascus Road, I erased those ideas from my life. I destroyed them. If I build again the things which I destroyed. Now, if I build them again, then, he says, I would compromise. And I refuse to do that. Why? Because justification, being right with God, is a straight road. And if I was to do this, I would destroy the things. What does he mean by destroy them? Well, he says, knowing Jesus Christ as I do, having met him, I cannot. You see, he says to them, I tried all my life to keep the law, and all I made myself was a transgressor. Now, if I go back to the things which I once destroyed and build them up again, then I'll go back to being a transgressor. It's a parabatis. It means one who has turned from the way and gone against the law. So he says, I would deny the very reason why God gave the law. Look, why did God give the law? Look at Galatians 3 and verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So what he's saying is, if I went back to the law, I would have left Christ. I would no longer share in Christ, but I would destroy Christ from my life. So it's a very serious matter to go back. And again, he said, I tried to do the works of the law perfectly, so as to make the law the grounds of my acceptance with God. But I couldn't do it. So if I go back to it, I will destroy it myself. So he says, I'll destroy Christ in me, and I'll destroy myself. So my great objection to every human system that rears itself up in human thought is that it destroys Christ in me, and I destroy myself. In setting out to do the impossible, keep the law, I failed of God's righteousness. Now, that is very plain in these verses. Paul is saying, whoever goes back to the law destroys Christ and destroys themselves and becomes a lawbreaker, a parabates, a destruction of the law and of all righteousness. Now, there's another objection to this going back he's quoting here. For I, through the law, am dead to the law. What does he mean? Well, you remember in Luke 15:32, the father said to the prodigal son, this my son was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. What he meant was, this son of mine lived in our family and was very much alive to us. We all loved him and he was part of us. But he went off into the far country, and as far as we were concerned, he died to us. But now he's come back repentant. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before men, before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Now he's in our family again. So he's come back to our family, so he's alive. So what he's saying is that I'm dead to the law. What does he mean by I'm dead to the law? Well, he means I left the law like the prodigal son left his family, and I died to the law. I'm no longer part of that family. I'm part of Christ's family. You see, look at it in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. And you can see what Paul is saying there. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So what he's saying there, as I understand it, is this. Christ died on the cross. Christ died to the world. Christ died to the law. And so the relationship between Paul and this world, because Paul has also been crucified with Christ, is that it's broken. Now, you have been crucified with Christ, each of you personally. You have died with Christ and risen again with Christ. Therefore, you are dead to the law. And you cannot go back to doing that again in this world. There's a relationship that has been broken, like the prodigal son's relationship with his father and his family. It's absolutely broken, and you cannot go back to it again. That door is shut forever. You've come back to God's family, and you're in God's family. Now, what Paul is saying is, once there was the closest possible relationship between me and the law. But now that law is finished as far as I'm concerned. I've died to it. I'm finished with it. And I'll have nothing more to do with it. Now, that is quite sure. This is what he's meaning here. So then he's no longer even a friend to the law. So because it says that he's alive unto God. Verse 19 of chapter 2, for through the law I am dead to the law, that I might live to God. Now, the law pretended to be Paul's friend. This is how the law approaches us. And it says, you keep me, and I will take you to God. You keep me, and I will open the way to heaven for you. But the law also says, in Galatians 3, verse 10, for as many are as the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, would you turn with me to Deuteronomy 27 and verse 26. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 26. And it says there, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. So then if you fail in the least bit of the law, you are under its curse. Paul then eagerly made friends with the law. He's like a man who came into a house and saw his friend there and put both arms round him and embraced him and wanted to be close to him. And the friend put both arms round him in return. But what he didn't know was the friend was holding a knife in his hand and he plunged it in Paul's back and killed him. That's what the law does. It curses us and puts us under a curse. So while it pretends to be our friend, in fact it's our enemy. And that's what the law is to you. The law is your enemy. That's what Paul is saying. A secret enemy. A nasty traitor. And that's what it does to you. Now, Paul thought he was earning salvation for himself. But what he was really doing was earning death for himself and the curse. Now, some will say that this means that Paul has nothing more to do with the law. And that I don't have anything more to do with the law. I can do whatever I like. And there have from time to time crept into the church. They crept in the days of Spurgeon. And there was a certain group in Germany who were committing adultery and fornication with each other and all sorts of things and claimed that they were perfectly all right to do it because they were dead to the law. Is that what Paul's meaning here? They've always gone on in the church. We call them antinomians, and we don't like them. And the reason is they've misunderstood verses like this. Do you think God went all the trouble to save you in order that you could do any dirty thing the law said you couldn't do and were perfectly free to do it? Of course he didn't do it like that, that I can live as I please. You see, Paul isn't saying here, I can do whatever Paul wants to do and I'm quit of the law. But some people have interpreted it like that. Now, it's quite true that these things have gone on in the church. And what they're saying is, by making the law my salvation, I deserve God's favour. Now, what is at the bottom of that problem is spiritual pride. And we need delivering from spiritual pride. And those people who are going round saying, I'm dead to the law, therefore I can break whatever I like in the law, and I'll be perfectly blameless in it because I'm dead to the law. Well, pride lies at the bottom of it, and that's what it is. Do you see? What he's saying here is deliverance from all law comes by the law. For I, by or through the law, am dead to the law. What does he mean there? Well, some say, by our experience, so the law teaches us the knowledge of sin because of what we do, our experience, so we're driven to Christ. So the law is our schoolmaster. I say to you, Paul is saying that in the next chapter, verse 24, but he's not saying that here. It's not the same thing. He's teaching something different here. First of all, the reason I reject that view is that here Christ destroyed the relationship, and Paul's experience is that of chapter 3, that God through Christ destroyed the relationship. But it isn't what he's teaching here. He's teaching here, Paul once had a relationship with the law. I through the law. So he had a relationship with the law. Dead to the law. What does he mean, dead to the law? He isn't speaking of experiencing sin by the law, but law is without the word the. I am dead to law. Not the law. The is an added word there. And it doesn't fit the idea of being led to a knowledge of sin by the law, because we're dead to the law. This verse speaks of being crucified with Christ, which seems to mean he's dead to the law through the cross of Christ and his own crucifixion with Christ. It all points to Christ's sacrifice fulfilling the law. So the deadness to the law is because Christ fulfilled it and died to the law and bore its curse for you and me, not because he deserved the curse, but because we did and gave us his righteousness. So it all points to Christ's sacrifice fulfilling the law. Now, Scripture never speaks disparagingly of the law. You will find Scripture doesn't attack the law anywhere. You will find that Paul has to defend himself against Jews who said, you, Paul, are denigrating the law. The law is the utmost acme and highest point of God's revelation, and you are belittling it and making it look bad. And that was their argument against Paul, and all the way through his life Paul had to stand against those men. Now you look at Romans chapter 7 and verse 12 and you'll see what I mean there. Romans 7:12. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. That's what Paul is saying there. So its purpose, though, was never to save me. Look at Romans 8 and verse 3. Its purpose was never to give us salvation. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God never abandoned the law. Galatians 4:4 makes it perfectly plain. If you look at Galatians again, chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Christ was subject to the law. Christ kept it perfectly. Every demand he kept, and he full responsibility took upon him to love God with all his heart and soul and mind and strength, and he did so. So Christ lived a life completely free from sin. Especially, he died to sin on the cross, when he bore God's wrath because he had become a curse for us, and a literal hell he bore on that cross. Yet he could say, thy loving kindness is better than life. It was something terrible to Christ to be left by God. So he took our sin and guilt away. So our relationship to the law is broken. So we can say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Because I'm no longer joined to the law, I'm joined to Christ, and I'm crucified with Christ. Can you really say that the law has given you the scourging which Christ received before he got on the cross? Can you honestly tell me that that is how the law dealt with you? But that is how the law dealt with Christ, and you're none of Christ's unless you've gone through these things, that the law absolutely hurt you in the utmost because you've broken it, and it drove you along. Do you feel that you yet delight in the law after the inner man? Is there something in you which really delights in the law of God? If there isn't that something, then you're none of Christ's. You're not his. Because Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inner man. Yet he said, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. He means the principle of my mind, which is the law of Christ. And I see this terrible thing fighting against the law of Christ. But I love the law of Christ. Do you love the law? Oh, how I love thy law, said David in Psalm 119. Every child of God loves God's law. And if they behave like that sect behaved in Germany in Spurgeon's day, well, I can tell you one thing, they only proved that they weren't Christ's. Because we who are Christ's honour and love the law greatly, but we do not trust the law for salvation, because it's impossible. So I destroyed the law as far as salvation is concerned. I did not destroy the law as far as walking with God's concerned, just as Jesus kept the law. If you want to keep the law, love God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. And love is the fulfilling of the law, says the Bible. And that is what you have to do. And if you don't, you can keep as many do's and don'ts as you like, but you're not fulfilling the law. The Pharisees were very quick to tithe the mint and the rue and the cumin and the ane and all the rest of it. Well, let them. But Jesus said, you've omitted to do the weightier matters of the law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. This is the fulfilling of the law, and that's what it is to be crucified with Christ. To love the law, yet not to trust it one inch. To trust Christ entirely for salvation, and so then we fulfill the law. So that, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I want to just end with this, and it's very quickly indeed. We're living in days in the Western Church when the Church has given up the law in the way we've got it, which is to love God and Christ, but to walk in the law of love with them. And what they have done is that they are trying to go back to a different way of salvation. What they want is church unity. And the point that blocks them and they do not like is salvation by faith alone, by grace alone. Therefore they're trying to push that out and go back to saying congruous grace and all the rest of it. I've tried to explain these matters, but Rome believes most earnestly that grace is something infused into you when you're christened, and it goes on in you through the Mass week by week, and it makes you able to do works pleasing to God. Therefore faith is having this congruity and having this way of pleasing God through your own works of faith. And they quote James continually on it. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And that's what they're at all the time. And the church is turning back to it. Cling with all you've got to this doctrine that you are crucified to the law and you live to Christ, that the law is honourable and just and good and holy and right, and we love the law of God and we walk and fulfil it by the law of love. That doesn't mean we can just float around. It means we keep the law to the very best letter of our ability. But beyond that, we trust Christ and Christ solely by what he's lived and done for our salvation. Now, as long as you stick to that, you will reach heaven. But move from that and you'll go under the curse of the law. And that's what's happening. And when I watch them, I see a growing blindness. I see a growing hardness in sin. I see a growing difficulty with the Bible. I see them making a meal out of things which are easy for you and I to swallow and see. And I see everything's got bones in it in their throat and sticks, whereas those things slip easily down us because we've understood the relationship between the law and Christ. Now there it is laid before you. If that hasn't been understood, come and ask me about it, because it's the most important thing there is in your Christian life. Amen.